This next story, you might say, is sort of a cross between Jurassic Park and, if you can believe it, L.A. Law. A discovery of one of the greatest paleontological finds in history, a nearly complete Tyrannosaurus rex. The story begins 24 years ago when the research team at the Black Hills Institute of Hill City, South Dakota, made one of the greatest finds in history, the largest, most nearly complete Tyrannosaurus rex skeleton ever found. This T-Rex was named Sue for Sue Hendrickson, who stumbled upon the first bits of bone and paid $5,000 to cart the skeleton off the property. But the T-Rex soon found itself threatened by Western land lawyers, creatures not around when this T-Rex lived. Peter Larson is a paleontologist and president of the Black Hills Institute. He's the subject of a new documentary, Dinosaur 13. Larson says in ancient times, T-Rex may have been at the top of the food chain, but it had no defense for the state marshals who arrived one day without warning.
It happened on August 12th, 1990, and we were working at a duckbill dinosaur quarry. And Susan Hendrickson took a walk and brought back some pieces of a dinosaur that just some chunks of vertebra. And when I saw him, I knew it was a T-Rex just by the texture of the bone and the open spaces that you could see because of the invasion of the air sacs. And from the moment I saw that dinosaur on the ground, I knew it was the most fantastic thing that we'd ever have the chance of working on.
So we're not talking about rocks here. We're talking about actual bones preserved.
Actual bone. One of the things that people don't – in fact, paleontologists didn't understand until just a little while ago, and some paleontologists still don't understand that we have so much more of that original material that was the animal preserved, not just the bone, which is hydroxyl apatite or calcium phosphate, but also some of the soft tissue preserved as well.
That's amazing. So how much of this T-Rex was there?
We have between 75 and 80% of the bones preserved, which is pretty awesome. It's still the most complete Tyrannosaurus rex that's ever been found, as well as the largest and best preserved.
Any idea why she ended up in that cliff face?
She died in a stream bed and was rapidly buried, which is how she's preserved. But there's really strong evidence to show that she was actually killed by another Tyrannosaurus rex. Now, when you think of her as the largest of all the Tyrannosaurus rex specimens that's ever been found to date, and you think something killed her, was another T-Rex, was that T-Rex bigger or just perhaps stronger or maybe a little younger, because she's also the oldest T-Rex that we found. So she abdicated her throne, but not willingly.
How old was she?
She was at least 28 years old. We know that from what are called lines of arrested growth, sort of like tree rings in her bones. Right. But if she ceased growth, she might have actually been older than that when she died.
Now, it's an old story in the West. Open land, somebody's poking around, and, you know, you find oil or gold or something like that, and suddenly the owner of the land needs to know about what it is that you found. In this particular case, you had something of value to paleontologists, but the location of this dinosaur had some sort of legal entanglements.
Yeah, of course, we as paleontologists have to be very careful of what land we're on, so we have permission to be there, first of all, and then beyond permission to be there, actually permission to do excavations, because you're disturbing the surface of the land when you're excavating.
And you had all that, right?
We had all that. We had permission from Morris Williams first to explore, and then once we found the dinosaur, first we double-checked with the courthouse that he did indeed own that site before we moved anything, and then told Morris Williams what we would like to do and asked for his permission to dig, and he said we could. We actually had to could only go into the site one time to load it out, so we had to actually walk into the site from his brother's property about a mile away, carry in all of our equipment, and then work the cliff face down to extract the dinosaur.
T-Rexes are at the top of the food chain, right?
Absolutely. They're an active predator that pretty much ate whatever they wanted.
And you discovered that, in fact, there is a predator for the T-Rex a few hundred million years in the future.
Somebody called me and said, the FBI's got crime scene tape around the Institute and they're taking Sue. I hung up the phone and I went as fast as I could down to the Institute. I don't know how many agents they had, 30-some people or whatever. It was just insane. I didn't even think about it. I grabbed the tape and go under it. I just went to the specimen. That was my concern. I could just see these idiots, you know, try to pack up my dinosaur and take it away and ruin it.
Now, that's from this film, Dinosaur 13, and it tells the story of the FBI coming and getting this fossil.
Well, you heard Terry Wentz's voice. Terry was the main preparator of Sue's skeleton. So we had her out of the ground. We had been working on her for 22 months, and I got up in the morning, and the whole place was surrounded with FBI agents, 35 FBI agents, people from the Forest Service, people from the National Park Service. They said that we had collected Sue on federal land against a violation of the Antiquities Act, which incidentally was declared unconstitutionally vague in 1974. So here we are in 1990, and apparently the acting U.S. Attorney Kevin Schieffer had decided that this would be a great publicity stunt.
And sorting this out was really the big question here. Listen.
It was discovered within the exterior boundaries of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe on land which was held in trust for the benefit of Maurice Williams, the landowner. Wasn't tribal land. Wasn't federal land. It was a really... Sue came out from an absolute legal netherworld.
I mean, Sue sort of describes the netherworld here. You've got the Sioux tribe, you've got Sue the dinosaur, and you paid $5,000 for the fossil originally to Maurice Williams.
That's correct.
But that didn't clarify things at all here. What's Patrick Duffy, the attorney for your Black Hills Institute, talking about here?
Yeah, Sue was actually found on land that Maurice Williams had. I don't remember if he had purchased it or traded for it, but he owned the land. But he put the title in trust with the United States government. And I actually grew up on the Rosebud Reservation. This is the Cheyenne Reservation where we're collecting them. And I thought I understood the system. But the system is so complicated. And the complication here was that land was put in trust. The title was held by the federal government for the benefit of Maurice Williams. And it had a tremendous effect on what happened to that dinosaur.
And, I mean, you said that they – accused you of violating an Antiquities Act, but there were a lot of charges here eventually, and the prosecutors were determined to take this to court.
Yeah, eventually, through a long-time investigation that involved three different grand juries, we were indicted on 39-count, 153-charge indictment. And we had went through the longest criminal trial in South Dakota history. I was convicted of two felony counts for which I served 2 years in prison. And
went to jail?
I went to prison. I went to Florence, Colorado, federal prison, same prison where John Gotti and Timothy McVeigh were. I was in the minimum security. They were in supermax, but it was the same prison complex.
Is there a happy ending?
There's definitely a happy ending. Our business, Black Hills Institute, is not only still in business, but we're thriving. Sue is in a happy place, and anybody can go see her. She's at the Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago.
The home of dinosaurs everywhere. And Maurice Williams, the late Maurice Williams, who cashed your $5,000 check, he also had a pretty happy outcome regarding the Field Museum. He sold Sue.
Yeah, Sue
for
was
more
Sue
than $8 million.
Sue was sold at auction, yeah. He ended up with a lot of money, which, because it was proceeds of a trust, was tax-free. But I don't think he was ever a very happy individual, unfortunately. And so I'd much rather be me than him.
Peter Larson, paleontologist and president of the Black Hills Institute, which is the subject of the new documentary Dinosaur 13, directed by Todd Miller. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.